All right, so the clip we're on Daf Lamed Aleph, and it's Lilui Neshama of Miro Bat Yitzchak. That's Fern Resmovitz's cousin, I think, right? Miro Bat Yitzchak, right? Miro Bat Yitzchak. I can't hear him. All right, anyway, Lilui Neshama. All right, so today we're in Daf Lamed Aleph. I'll begin on the bottom line of Lamed Amid Beis. Okay, so we're in Daf Shabbos 30b, the bottom line of Lamed Amid Beis. So the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, the Lami Hedaman, Vatan Kihilel, but he's Captain Kishamai. A person should be on Vatan. On Vatan, they said, it could be humble. I think patient fits in a better translation here. There's a Gemara in Masechet Gittin where the Gemara says, In Vitanotosh, Rabbishar Benav Kulis, Echriva et Batenu. That the anivas of Rabbishar Benav Kulis, so Rashi there says, Savlanut, is patience. So I think patience works better in this sugya, but we'll see how it plays out. A person shouldn't be kapdan k'shamai. A person shouldn't be strict like Shammai was strict. And these are famous Gemaras that I'm sure you've heard them before. There was an incident with two people, Shehimru Zedzeh. They made a bet. They made a bet with one another. Amru, komi shilech v'yachnid et Hillel, he told Arba Miozuz. Anybody who's able to provoke Hillel and get him angry wins the bet. You know, if you get Hillel angry, you win 400 zuz. And 400 zuz is a lot of money, because a whole ksuba for Betulus is 200 zuz, and that's like a year's income. So 400 zuz is a big sum of money. So Amar Chamihem Ani Achnitenu. He says, don't worry, I will provoke him, he'll get angry, that money is in the bag for me. So we're on line 3 on Laman Aleph Aman Aleph. Oto Yom Erev Shabbat Ayah. So that day was a Friday, so it means, and the Marashah points out, like Friday everybody's busy, you know what it's like on Friday before Shabbos. He says, V'hillel chafav rosho, and Hillel was busy scrubbing his head, so like he's like, you'd say, like in the shower. So it's Friday afternoon, he's rushing to get ready for Shabbos, he's busy cleaning his hair. He says, halach v'yavar al petach beito. So the person comes by, passes by petach beito, the Marsha says he doesn't even walk into the house, he's like in the street, and he calls him, amar mikan Hillel, mikan Hillel. So Rashi says that it's Lashon Gadai, because Hillel was the Nasi. He's like, where's this Hillel around? You know, where is Hillel? So he's doing three things to provoke him already. It's a Friday afternoon, he's busy Chofei Brosho, he's out in the street, and the fourth thing, and he's calling him, you know, Mikan Hillel, where's Hillel around, like in a disparaging way. He says, Nita'ate fiatzal ekroto. So Hillel, you'd say like he got out of the shower, whatever, he wrapped himself up, he went to greet the person. Amarlo b'ni ma tamabake. She says, my son, what can I do for you? What do you need? Amarlo she'ele yesh to the shul. I have a question. The chabakasha. He says, Amarlo sha'al b'ni shal. He says, they asked me. So m'bnei ma rashehen shabav liyim segal galot. Why are the Babylonians, why do they either have either oblong heads, as one shot Rashi has, or round heads? Why do the Babylonians have round heads? Amarlo b'ni she'ele gadol sha'alta. Oh, he says, oh, Taka, you asked a big important question. You know, I remember once hearing Rav Moshe Weinberger. He was speaking at a, like, Divrei Hesped for Rav David Lipschitz, and he said that with Rav David, you'd ask a question, say something to the Gemara, and Rav David would say, oh, you know, Mistama, you had in mind, like, this machloket, we've shown him this, that, the other, blah, 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 like the question, he built the question up, like, much more than the questioner intended. So Hillel here says, you know, oh, V'ni, she'ele gadol sha'alta, you asked it, like, a big chashuv question on the first wide line. V'ni she'ein lahem, they don't have good midwives. In other words, they don't have Jessica Jacob around to help them. So that's why. So halak v'mtin shachat. So he leaves. He waits a little bit. Then he says, chazar v'amar mikan hila mikan hila. So he goes through the whole thing again. Where's this hila around? And again, it's Friday afternoon. Nitate v'yatzal ekrato. So again, he wraps up. He comes out to meet him. He says, amar lo b'ni matam v'akesh. What do you want? Amalo she'eli yesh l'shol. I have something I want to ask you. He says, Amalo sha'al b'ni sha'al. He says, yes. Nima eni hen shel tarmudiyim chutot. Why are the eyes of the tarmudiyim? Tarmudiyim is Palmyra. I think that's a city in Syria that the ISIS people recently destroyed a whole, you know, archaeological area there, I believe. So he says, why are their eyes chutot? One shot is round. Amarlo b'ni she'el gadol sha'al tataka, you asked a great question. B'nei she Darin Bein HaCholot. They live in a sandy area, and like Hashem formed their eyes, like if it's like, I don't know, like small or round, so the, they don't catch as much sand. He says, Halach Vim Tin Shachat. Then he left, he waited a bit, and he came back. Chazar Va'amar, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel. Where's Hillel? The Tatefi at Sadak Prato. Amar Lo B'ni Ma Tam Vakhe. He says, what can I do for you? He says, Amar Lo She'eli Yesh Lishol. Amar Lo Sha'al B'ni Shal Ask Me. Nima Ragleim Shal Afrikim Rechavot. Why are the African people have wide feet? So either, so he says here, Amar Lo B'ni She'eli G'dol Sha'alta. Nei Shadarin Bein Bitzei Amayim. They live in marshy areas. It's either they live in a marshy area, so the wide feet helps them support, they don't sink into the mud, or that they're able to walk barefoot, and the way Rashi takes it, like people, like the shoe, like it like holds the foot together, like it squeezes it, so the feet are that way. Anyway, that's why it's wide. So Amar Lo, so Shelon Harbe Yesh Lishol. He says, I got lots of questions. Umitirein Yishema Tichos. I'm afraid you're going to get angry at me if I ask. So Nitaatev Yishav Lufanav. So he wrapped himself up. He sat in front of them. Amar Lo Kol Shelo Shish Lachalishol Shal. Whatever questions you have asked. Amar Lo, Atahu Hillel Shekorin Otcha Nasi Yisrael. Are you the Hillel? Did they say you're the Nasi? The Nasi is head of the Sanhedrin, in which he was. He says, Amar Lo Hain. Amar Lo Imatahu Lo Yerbu Kumon Chav Yisrael. If you're him, like, we shouldn't have any more people like you. And you see, like the first reaction a person would normally have is, get out of here! Do me a favor. I don't need to hear these insults, you know? And you don't even know how to address me right. And it's a Friday afternoon. I shouldn't even be talking to you. So I don't want to know from you. But that's not what he says. He's like, he's very cool, very cool. He says, Amar Lo Benin B'Neimar. He says, why? Why is it that there shouldn't be more people like me? So Amar Lo Neshavadati Al Yadcha Arbamiyot Zuz. Because I lost 400 Zuz as a result of your conduct. You know, I wasn't able to provoke you. Amar Lo, Zahir Baruch Hacha. He says a person should always be careful with his disposition. In other words, like always, like equanimity. Not easy to do that all the time. Kidayu Hillel should Tabed Al Yedo Arbi Ozuz Varbi Ozuz. Like it's appropriate that you should lose 400 Zuz and 400 Zuz. In other words, he didn't win the 400 Zuz, and now he's got to pay out 400. So he's like losing sort of like in a way like 800 Zuz. He says, V'hil lo yakbin, hil wouldn't be makbin. Now, the Marsha has a deeper meaning for this whole Gemara. Marsha connects it to the Midot that it says by Bilam Arasha. He's got a Nefesh, the Taminim of Bilam Arasha have, you know, Ayin Sara and Nefesh Rechava. But that's a simple shot in the Gemara, what we got. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on this first piece of the Gemara? Anybody? Everybody good?
Okay. You're right, patience.
Okay, that's it. Patience is a big virtue. I think so. I think with a good pshat, with the patience, yeah. All right, let's go further. Now, I can't hear you. Go ahead. What do you want to say? Ian, did you want to say something? Ian?
No.
Arthur, what do you want to say?
It seems like Hillel, the difference between Hillel and Shammai is that Hillel is more like Avraham Avinu.
All right.
Shammai is more like who?
Alright, Ian, you have your mic is open, but if you don't want to say anything, please turn it off. Ian Lesbader. Aaron Gershon also, do you want to say something?
Just thinking, go back 35 years. You remember the floods Kashrus used to have from Saul?
You mean from
the... Moved to Israel?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Alright, listen to this. Alright, we're on. Okay, we're being recorded. Okay, now the 10th line from the top. Okay, now the Gemara is going to learn three incidents. The Gemara is going to learn three incidents with Hillel. So Tana Rabbanan, Masa Benachri Echad, Shabbat Lefnei Shammai. There was an incident with one non-Jew that came before Shammai. Amar Lo, Kama Torah Yesh Lachem. He says, how many Torahs do you have? And now we're dealing with a non-Jew. A non-Jew is saying, how many Torahs do you have? He says, Amar Lo Shtayim. He says, we have two Torahs. This is Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebal Peh. We have the written Torah and the oral Torah. This is Amar Lo Shebichtav Ani Ma Mincha. like the written Torah, that which is written, that I believe you, that's Ben HaShemayim, that I believe. He says, V'shaval peh ini mamincha. But that which is the Torah Shaval peh, that I do not believe. He says, Gaireini amanat shlam deini Torah Shebechtav. I want you to convert me with the stipulation that you'll teach me the Torah Shebechtav. I'm not interested in the Torah Shaval peh. He says, Ga'arbo behotzio ben Azifa. So he, like, he remonstrated with him, this is Shammai, and he threw him out, like with a tremendous rebuke. He says, Balifni Hillel Gairei. Now he came before Hillel and he converted him. So this is a little tricky with the whole thing. Now, Rashi says, now there's a halacha that if somebody says he accepts everything in the Torah except for one item, you can't convert them. In other words, even if a person says, I accept the whole Torah except for one din derabanan, you can't convert them. And here, though, the way Rashi learns, he converted him from the get-go. So Rashi takes it, let me look at this Rashi, Gairei. Let's look at the 10th narrow line in Rashi. He says, make it the 6th narrow line in Rashi. Hotziya ben Azifa, d'tanya habala kabel d'vrei chavrod, chutz mi d'var achad, p'chein ger abad l'kayir, v'kim lov d'var, d'vrei t'ro chutz d'var achad, im kabel notob, v'seth b'chorod. So Shammai was doing strictly al pi halacha. If a person's not accepting the whole Torah, I can't convert you. But Gairei, so Rashi says, v'samachal chokhmato shesofo shiargilenu l'kabel olav, that he, Hillel, relied on his ability, that he assumed that he'd be able to, you know, get him online. He says, d'lo damyo ha l'chutz mi davar echad, shelo aya kofer v'torah shbal pem, ela shelo aya mamin shehimi pi ha-gevura. V'ilu huvtach shechar shalom demi b'smoch alav. It means that sometimes a person, he knows the Torah, and then he rejects it. So that's the chisaron. But the person, just like from his ignorance, he doesn't know, he thought the way Rashi's saying, he thought he could convert him, and then he'll get him online. You know, it's a little bit like somebody said, like you have all these apikorsim today, somebody said, like, today there aren't apikorsim, they don't even know enough to be an apikoris. You know what I mean? Like, in other words, to be an apikoris, you have to have had the learning, and then rejected it. Like, the people that the too ignorant to even be an apikoris. So Hillel thought he could convert him. Now, the Maharsha takes it that in these instances, when it says Gairei, that he didn't actually convert him, not like Rashi. Rashi says he converted him, and he relied that he'd be able to get him all inculcated later on. The Maharsha takes it that even though it says Gairei, it doesn't mean Gairei. It means he withheld it, he withheld converting him, but he entered him into this, like, sort of, not smicha program, but entered into this, the Gairus program, and then he thought he'd be able to wing it. And let's see what happens. So look back in the Gemara, Gairei. So Yoma Kama Amale Aleph Beit Gimel Dalet. So day one, he's in the Shir. He says, this is an Aleph, this is a Beis, this is a Gimel, this is a Dalet. That's day one. Then he says, Lamachar Apichle. The next day he reversed it. So the way Rashi takes it, he says the Taf, he puts a Taf on the board, he said, that's an Aleph. He puts a Shin on the board, he said, that's a Beis. Or it could just be that the order of the letters, the Maharsha says about the orders. In other words, not Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. It's Beis, Aleph, Dalet, Gimel. In other words, the orders of the letter he changed around. But either way, he says, Amalei, by Etmol, Lo, Amar, Tlihachi. You didn't say that. Yesterday you said this, now you say that. So what's going on? So Amalei, Lavalai, Didika, Samchut. He says, aren't you relying on me, what the letters are, what the names of the letters are, and how they're pronounced? The Alpenami Smokhalai. So rely on me, the Torah Shabbal Peh. Meaning, that even with the Torah Shebechtav, there's a Torah Shebaal Peh. In other words, like, even, what is a letter? How is a letter pronounced? There's an oral element in that as well. So there's an oral element in the whole Torah, so you should rely on me for that. Okay, that's that piece. Now,
that's a question?
You go ahead.
That's a question?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, that's not necessarily Drabban, that's Torah Moshe LeSinai.
Right.
That the letters have the meaning. So
right.
It's not Torah Shebechtav, but it's not Derabanan either, right?
No, I didn't say Derabanan. I didn't say anything. Okay. I didn't say anything about Derabanan. I said Torah Shebechtav and Torah Shebaal Peh.
Okay. But the other thing is, why is Hillel even interested in converting anybody? Don't we try to dissuade people from converting? We don't look for
converts. All right. That's true. Let me wait with that to the next incident. Okay. Let me do the last one, and then we'll summarize everything. Okay. All right. Let's go further. We have a nice chaver here tonight. All right. Now, let's go further. So, Shuv Ma'aseh ben Achri Echad. This is case number 3. There was another incident with one non-Jew. Shabbal of Shammai. Amar li garini menashtam dini kula Torah kula shni omid al regla achad. teach me the whole Torah while I literally while I stand on one foot. In other words, I don't have a lot of patience. Be short, sweet, and to the point. I don't have a lot, you know, like, I want the whole Torah in 10 minutes. I don't have patience to listen or hear anything else. Does that sound familiar to any of you? It kind of has, you know. All right, anyway, so let's see back in the Gemara. Dechafo ba'amad ha-binyan shebiado. So Shammai, he chases him away with amad ha-binyan. Amad ha-binyan means like the measuring rod, which was one amma. He chased him away. So, I don't know, the Marasha says that amad ha-binyan means, he's saying like I can't teach you in one element. In other words, just like a binyan, a structure, like, I don't know, one brick that's the foundation. There's a big foundation. So I can't teach you the whole Torah regular achat. In other words, like one with one fundamental rule. There's so much fundamentals in the Torah. He says, Balathne Hillel, he comes before Hillel, Gaire, then Hillel again converts him. And we have the same thing. Did he convert him or accept him in the conversion process? And the part that gets a little tricky with this also, we'll talk about it, is, you know, you're not allowed to teach a non-Jew Torah. So it's sort of like a catch 22. In other words, so if he's converting him, then I can understand how he's teaching him Torah. But if he's not yet converting him, how is he teaching him Torah? And then, but if that's the case, how do you ever, you know, teach anything to somebody who's going to convert? So we'll see in a minute. So he says Amarlo. So he says to him, Hillel does the Alach Sani Lachabrach Lotavid. That which is hateful to you, don't do to your friend. So Rashi's tupshatim on this. Let's look at the Rashi. This is around the 15th hour line in Rashi. Make it the 20th. He says, "The Alach Sani Lachabra Klotavit Riecha Bereya Vichal Tazov Zakach Baruch Hu." So the first shot Rashi says, he quotes pasuk in Mishlei, "Your Reya is a Kadosh Baruch Hu." In other words, that which is hateful to your friend, meaning to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you should not do. Al Tabor Dvarav Shir Elecha Sanui Shi Avorach Averach Al Dvarecha. In other words, you would not like it if somebody wouldn't listen to you, so you should listen to Hashem. So the second shot Rashi says, it means that, in other words, the Alach Sani means that which you don't like your friend would do to you, but it means it's referring to mitzvot ben adam lechaveiro. So in other words, mitzvot ben adam lechaveiro, I don't like when somebody steals from me, I don't like when somebody speaks lashon hara about me, so I shouldn't do it to him. So Rashi says that's rov mitzvot. Most mitzvot, he's saying, are ben adam lechaveiro. We'll see. There's a lot of questions on this Gemara. Now let's see back in the Gemara. He says, Balchani lo gai rei, amar lo dachsan el chaber lo tabid, zui kol haTorah kulav idach perusho hu zil Gemara. That's the whole Torah, and the rest of the Torah is just commentary on it. Go study it. So there's a couple of different pshatim I want to say on this. There's one pshat that Rav Simon has in his Sefer. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah. So he quotes from the Beit Shmuel Achron. Beit Shmuel Achron was, I think his last name was Taubenfeld, I think. Aaron Moshe, do you know the last name? Beit Shmuel Achron is Ravin Posen. Anyway, so he... Was he a Taubenfeld? Was his last name Taubenfeld, you know? All right, anyway, so he says in the Sefer like this, that if a person doesn't do the Torah, there are 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. So if a person doesn't do all 613, he has to come back in another Gilgal. In other words, Alpi Kabbalah, Alpi Zohar, if a person hasn't done all the mitzvot, he has to another Gilgal, like another lifetime in here, so he can fulfill those things that he left out, like the first or the second or the third time. They say you max out with four lifetimes. So, you know, as each one of us could be another Gilgal from another time. That's the idea with it. So he says there are a lot of mitzvahs that a person just can't fulfill. Like they have a mitzvah yibum, chalitza. In other words, yibum, you have to have a brother, and he has to have die before you, and the wife is a widow. And today we don't do yibum b'chlal, and chalitza, and let's say mitzvahs mila. If a person doesn't have a son, how does he do the brits of mila? So he says how is such a person saved from a gilgal? How does a person save from another coming back again? But he says, if he's mekayim the mitzvah v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, if he loves his neighbor as himself, so then all of Klal Yisrael are nechshav as guf echad. In other words, the entire corporate body of the Jewish people are one guf, and if so, my neighbor, my friend, does this mitzvah, that mitzvah, the other mitzvah, is in a way it's attributable to me. So he says that's what Hillel said to him. The Alach Sani L'Chabrach Lo Tavid. In other words, the person was saying to him, Gairani, he says, I want you to convert me, but I don't want to have to come back for another Gilgal. In other words, I'll regal Akat. He takes it, regal Akat means like one shot, one time. Like a regal could be a time. I don't want to have to, I know you Jews believe in Gilgulim. I don't want to have to come back for another Gilgal. So I'm happy to convert, but I don't want to have to come back for another Gilgal. So he says, if that case, the Alach Sane L'Chavrach L'Tavid, in other words, if you're Mekayim the Mitzvah Haftal Re'echa Kamocha, you love your neighbors yourself, so you'll get, all the mitzvahs that they do will be attributable to you as well, and you won't have to come back for another Gilgal. All right, now, there's another shot that I saw. This is brought up right your line, Aaron Moshe, but you have to mute yourself, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, please mute yourself. Please mute yourself. I'll open it up in a bit. Please mute yourself now, okay? Because I hear the noise there. Okay, thank you. Now another pshat is from Yisrael Abrishan. Let me see if I can find it. One second. Yeah. So he says like this. he wants to say this Gemara connects to the holiday of Shmini Atzeret. So it says on Shmini Atzeret, it's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, Kasheh Lai Pri Darchem. It's the simple pshat, like you're taking leave of me is difficult, so stick around another day and have a suda with me. But the way he understands it is, Kasheh Lai Pri Darchem, not that you're taking, Pri Darchem means to take leave of somebody, but he wants to say Pri Darchem, like your machloket, your dissension. In other words, the same idea, Prida is like taking leave, but if like this Prida, everybody's separated from everybody else. So he's saying, Kasheh Lai Pri Darchem, I, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can't take all this infighting in the Jewish people. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying on Shmini Atzeret. So the minhag is at Shmini Atzeret that everybody gets together, they eat, they drink, they speak the very Torah, they're smeichim, it brings to Ava Ba'achva. So that's what the Gemara means, that the Goy came to Hillel and said, Gairani, I'm something to call Torah Regal Achat. He says, teach me the whole Torah on Regal Achat, meaning not on one leg, on one yantiv. There's one regal. All the yantovim, there's a reason in the Torah. Pesach is Eichel Yitzis Mitzrayim. Sukkot is the Kibbutz Sukkot Shavti Ben Yisrael. Every holiday has a reason. But Shmini Atzeret, there's no reason brought for it in the Torah. So he says, therefore, is that Shmini Atzeret is called Regel B'fnei Atzmo. So Hillel said, the Alach Sani L'Chavrach Lo Tavid, he says that the Regel is because Kasheh Lai Pri Darchem. What's the reason we have Shmini Atzeret? Because Hashem doesn't like all of our dissension, all of our machlokot, and his ratzon is that we should be united. And therefore we get together, and we drink, and the more Hasidic twist on this as well is from Yisrael Abrishan. Okay, who's got questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Now open up. Anybody want to speak?
Well, I had my question before was, why are we trying to convert Goyim in the first place?
Yeah, okay, let me just get one more case, and then we'll we're not done with the conversion cases yet, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay, hang tight. What's up, Aaron Moshe? What do you got for me?
I think Hillel saw something special in this person. Hillel saw something special
in this person. Okay.
And, you know, he hesitated, not wanting to convert.
All right. All right. You mean why?
Rabbi Goldstein?
Yes, sir. Who is this?
Ian, how are you?
Ian, I can't see you. Let me see your picture.
Okay. Well, you're going to have to listen. I'm still in the office.
Okay, what do you got? I can still see you in the office, but go ahead. What's the question?
I find it fascinating. Long before Darwin, in the 1800s, the Jews in the Gemara were talking about adaptation, how creatures adapt to their environment, like the flat-footed people of the swamps and the round-eyed people. So it's just it's fascinating that we had an understanding of adaptation and evolution. Maybe Darwin, who was hailed as a revolutionary, maybe knew a little Gemara.
Well, the only thing is, you don't necessarily have to understand the Gemara that way. In other words, the Gemara could say that a Kaddish Baruch Hu was creating people with this. It could be adaptation, but it could be a Kaddish Baruch Hu was creating people who are living in certain areas with certain attributes. So I'm not muchrach one way or another way with that. But
I just thought that was an interesting element to how people are just in their environment.
Okay.
An interesting element of Gemara.
All right. All right.
Carry on. It's great.
All right. Everybody good? Okay, everybody mute themselves now. What's up? All right. Okay, everybody mute. Okay, Ian, I need you to silence yourself. Ian, mute yourself. Arthur, mute yourself. I'll get to you in a few more minutes, okay? Okay, wait. Mute yourself, and I'll go on a little bit further, okay? Now, let's take a look back on the Gemara. Now we're up to Shuv Ma'aseh B'Achri Echad. Okay, there was another incident with another non-Jew, She'over Achori Ben Medrash. The non-Jew was passing, like, behind the base Medrash. The Shemak Kol Sofer. Now, Rashi's a Sofer, he hears, like, a Malame Tinokot. He hears, like a teacher, you know, teaching children. She'omer Ve'ela B'Gdim Asher Yasu. These are the garments that you should make for the Kohen Gadol. Choshen V'Ephod. The Choshen is the breastplate, and the Ephod is like this apron that goes, it's connected to the Choshen. He says, Amar Halalumi. He says, who gets to wear them? Amrulo the Kohen Gadol. That's for the Kohen Gadol. Amar Oto Nachri Ba'atzmo. So the Goy thought to himself, Eleich V'Kayer, Shul Shisimuni Kohen Gadol. I'll convert, so they'll make me a Kohen Gadol. That's for me. Balaf Nei Shammai. He came before Shammai. Amar Le Gairani Amanach Simini Kohen Gadol. I want to convert me, and I want to be the Kohen Gadol. Dechafo Ba'amad Abinin. Again, he chased them away. Ba'amad Abinin is with that measuring rod. Should be Adom. The way I remember this, there was a Shemesh Shmuel. He wanted to say that the measuring rod, I haven't seen it recently, but there's a Shemesh, and I heard this from Rav Simon originally, is like he wants to say the measuring rod represents like the Midah of Shammai. Like Shammai, you know, everything has to be exactly this way, like with the measuring rod. And so he didn't like with the Goy, with his attitude. So he says, Balafni Hillel Gairi. He came for Hillel, he converted him. So again, we have this machloket. Did he convert him up front, or he just accepted him in the conversion program? So he says, Amalei, Klumamidim. So he says, you know what? Klumamidim Melech Alami Shiodeh Taxis Malchut. He says, I know you're interested in being the Kohen Gadol, but do you appoint a king unless he knows, like, the protocol in the royal court? Leif Lamo Taxis Malchut. So why don't you first study like the procedures in the royal court, and then we'll make you the Kohen Gadol. So he says, Halach v'Korah. So he went, he was studying, came and Shigiyah v'Azar Kreiv Yumad. So he got to the Pasuk. It says, means if a non Kohen does a voda, he's Chayav Misa. So Amalei Mikra Zalmi Nimar. He says, who's this Pasuk apply to? Amar Lo, Afilo David Melch Yisrael. So he'll say to him, even David Melch Yisrael would be Chayav Mita if he would do Avoda. Now, Sauto Ger Kavachomer Atzmo. So the Ger himself, you know, he understood, he made a Kavachomer. He said, in other words, it's like, you see, like a pedagogic technique. In other words, like, you know, like, unfortunately, like, you know, like, sometimes rabbis, you know, do this, do that, this is wrong, this is right. Here, like, Hillel's teaching him, and the person himself is realizing what the right way is. In other words, Hillel is guiding him, but he himself is saying to himself, you know, that's the strongest Musar. When he's saying, my goodness, how could I have thought to be a Kohen Gadol? Even David Melch Yisrael would be put to death, you know, or would be Chayav Misa for doing Avoda. So in the base of Mikdash. It says, Amar Lei, Mikra Zalmi Nemar, he says, the Jewish people, the ones who were born into the Jewish people, are called God's sons. He says, and then my firstborn Israel. So it says, if a non-Kohen tries to do a voda, he's chayav misa. So he says, ger hakal shababa maklo b'tar milo. So I'm a ger, I'm a convert. You know, I don't have yichus. I come, like he says, b'maklo b'tar milo, with his staff, with his satchel. He says, Alachat Kamakama. So if David Melech Yisrael is Chayav Misa, certainly I'm going to be Chayav Misa. And with Hazar Kreiv Yumad, I don't know if the Beis Din puts him to death or it's from Shemayim, but I have to look into that. So he says, Balaf Nei Shammai. So he came back to, so he realizes that Taka, you know, that's not a good thing. I can't be a Kohen Gadol. So Balaf Nei Shammai. Then he comes back to Shammai and he says, Amalo Klum. He says, you know, now I realize that, you know, I'm not really to be a Kohen Gadol, but, like, your method wasn't so good, because you were chasing me out the door, but now I realize I can't do that. He said to Hillel, in Vitan Hillel, Yanuchu L'cha Brachot Aroshka, he says, you should, like Zozayin Gebenched, you should have a lot of brachot. He says, Sheikh Raftani Tachat Kanfei Eshchina, you brought me under the Kanfei Eshchina. And it was your method, I ended up converting, and now I'm like a from Jew. He says, Liyamim Nizdavgu Shlashtan L'makom Achad. So the Gemara says, after a period of time, now we have three non-Jews who converted, right? We have non-Jew number one was about the Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Non-Jew number two was the one that was, he wanted the Torah Regal Achat. He wanted Torah Regal Achat. And non-Jew number three was the one who wanted to be the Kohen Gadol. So he says, Liyamim Nizdavku Shlashtam L'makom Achad Amru Kapdun Toshel Shamai Bishal Tordenim Min HaOlam. He said, the stringency of Shamai was going to like throw us out of the world. In other words, like his stringency, we never would have come to become Jews. He says, in Vitan Toshel Hillel Kervano Tachat Kamei Shchina, the humility of Hillel that brought us under Kanfei Shchina. Okay, now, David, I haven't forgotten your question. Pesach, David. Give me just one more minute. I want to talk a little bit about this aspect of studying Torah when you're a non-Jew, and then we'll take it from there. And then we'll try to address your question, okay? Now, let me see what I have here. All right. Now, he quotes here, this is from the Al-Hadaf. He quotes here, the Marashah questions how Hillel could have accepted a prospective convert not driven by idealistic interests, but rather by ulterior motive to become a high priest. In other words, it's even a stronger question than you were asking, Pesach David. In other words, because not just that you try to push away people, prospective converts, but if you see they have an ulterior motive, in other words, that's you have to, you know, screen them out. Are they maybe converting, they want to marry a Jewish person? Are they maybe converting because they have they think it'll be beneficial for them in some way? So that's not good for a conversion process. So here, this non-Jew is saying, I want to be Kohen Gadol, convert me. So it's like, up front, you know, I'm only converting because I want to be the Kohen Gadol. So how could he, never mind about the pushing him away, but how can he do that? So this seems to contradict the principle that converts are not accepted for motives of marriage or in order to share in the general success of the Jews. He answers that Hillel did not immediately convert the man, as the Gemara appears to indicate. Rather, Hillel withheld the conversion until the man had himself discovered that he could never be the high priest. Only when it became clear that his interest was genuine did Hillel actually convert. However, continues the Marashah, this raises the question how Hillel could have taught the man Torah prior to his conversion. So again, there's a halacha the Gemara says, Magid Rav Yaakov, that a person should only teach Torah to a Jewish person. I shouldn't teach Torah to a non-Jewish person. So again, among I mentioned previously about a week or two ago, remember I said that, like if a Jew cooks, not allowed to cook on Yontif for a non-Jew. So that's one problem with having Goyim at the Seder. Like if I'm cooking food for them, I'm violating the Dina Yontif. But another problem is I'm teaching Torah to a non-Jew. That's another problem with having a non-Jew at a Seder. So he says here, and then Piyashkafa is like, you know, basically like I think you were saying Pesach, but the Korban Pesach would only be for Jews. But he says this runs contrary to the statement that a Gentile studying Torah is liable to the death penalty. He responds that here, since the Gentile is on the road to conversion, is permitted to teach him Torah. So the Marashah takes it that if a person is interested in conversion, I could teach him some Torah. Rabbi Kiva Eger discusses this matter and responds to him. He points out that Tosfos raises the same question. However, Tosfos replies that Hillel was confident that this individual will eventually have the proper motives. As a consequence, Hillel converted him. So in other words, Tosfos takes it that Hillel converted him, Tosfos in Yibamo, that he converted him from the get-go. He says, Tosfos learns that Hillel converted the man prior to teaching him Torah based on this certitude. He means certainty that the man would in due course have the appropriate attitude. If so, remarks Rabbi Akiva Eger, by virtue of the fact that Tosfos did not employ the Marashah's response, it could be that Tosfos rejected the permissibility of teaching Torah to a prospective convert prior to his conversion. Based upon this, Rabbi Akiva Eger cannot find grounds for teaching Torah to a potential convert preceding his conversion. Some authorities draw support from the Marashah's view from the Meiri, who writes that a Gentile who desires to study the Torah with the intent of converting, if he finds it pleasing, may be taught. On the other hand, the Zohar appears to prohibit teaching even a prospective convert till after the conversion. Some authorities have questioned the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva Eger based on the law that the possible convert must be informed of some of the more difficult as well as some of the lighter obligations of the Jew prior to his conversion. So, in other words, how do I tell him? In other words, one of the elements of a prospective convert, I have to go over the halakhot. I have to say, we have this difficult law, this simple law, this, that, the other. But if I can't teach him Torah, how do I do that? In the end, many authorities rule in accordance with the Marashah's opinion that a prospective convert may be taught. Some limit the instruction to reading Hebrew and the most basic laws and beliefs. So, again, so I just want you to get the issues. The Daf Yomi only like teaches you like the main issues. Then you could be ma'ayin on your own. So the first thing you know, there's an issue about teaching non-Jew Torah. That's the first, you know, front and center. Now, when it comes to teaching non-Jews Torah, the non-Jews are chayav in sheva mitzvot b'nei Noach. So there would be some lechora heter to teach them like Seder Nezikin. In other words, that they're obligated in like dinim. They're obligated in laws between man and his fellow man. So there could be areas in halacha that you would have a heter to teach them lechora. Then but here, so it could be that if it's a prospective convert, you might, I mean, most, I think, places today assume that if a person's a prospective convert, you're going to teach them some halacha, because, and get them, the way they teach them some halacha, they get them to try to, you know, shift in to, like, keeping kashrus and observing things, not everything, because, you know, goy sheshavet chayav misa, but we try to get the person lined up so that he's ready to convert. We don't like take him 0 to 100. We try to like line him up a little bit so he goes through like a learning process and tries to start observing, and that's the typical way to. Oh, please wait 1 minute, Aaron Ger. Please mute yourself 1 more minute, okay? And that's it. Now Pesach David, I want to come to your question. So again, so Pesach David was asking that the halacha is that a person should try to push people away before we accept them as converts. So if you say that he didn't convert them, you know, straight up front, it could be that that's there. If he converts them up front, then it's a little bit harder to understand how that part would work. I don't have a great answer for you, Pesach David. Okay, now, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I said so far? Robert, did you want to say something? You're unmuted.
I was thinking we have the story of Ruth, who was a convert, correct? And she is the progenitor of David HaMelech, who will ultimately be the progenitor of the Mashiach. So why would we discourage people under those circumstances?
Yeah, it's just the opposite. So if you look, the Chazal teach us from Megillat Rut that you do have to push people away. Remember, Rut wants to join with Naomi, and Naomi keeps saying to her, Lechna Shovna, you know, go back to your people. And then Rut Dafkaba. So she says to her, go back, go back, go back, go back. We see that the prospective convert, we discourage, not that we encourage, we discourage.
So then really the key is on the convert. The convert has to show enough willingness,
100%.
And enthusiasm.
Right, correct,
to come forward.
Correct. Okay. Arthur,
I have a question about the Gilgal.
Yeah.
So, first of all, do Goyim have Gilgal Neshama?
I don't know. What's the next question?
Okay. Second question is, can a Jew be coming to a Gilgal when he comes back as a guy?
That I find very hard to believe. That I find hard. One minute, Aaron Moshe, just 1 more minute. I would find that very hard to believe. If you're okay. A Yiddish and Neshama, you come back as a Yiddish and Neshama. Okay, now, Aaron Moshe, what do you got for me?
What I was going to say, the Zohar says about Gilgalim that we're mostly all Gilgalim, but not because the 613 minutes, because we need a ticket.
Yeah. Arthur, it's hard to hear you. You're breaking up. I don't know if the other people can hear you.
You might need a ticket.
Wait, I couldn't hear you clearly, Arthur. Can you repeat yourself? It's like
and that ticket is very strong, you come back as a
Gilgal.
Right. Most people are here as Gilgalim. Famous Gemara that says that the kid that went up and did Shulcha Kei Kibirah, and he fell off, and what happened to him? He died. How, why did he die? So it said, the Makom Shikul Ayah. Where's the Makom Shikul Ayah?
I said, are you able to hear him? Is anybody else able to hear Arthur? I couldn't make it out. Arthur, we can't hear you.
Well, it was weak Wi-Fi, very weak Wi-Fi.
Arthur.
It's completely garbled.
Arthur, you're garbled. We can't hear you. Arthur. I'm sorry, Arthur. I'm sure it's a beautiful idea, but we just can't hear you clearly. I got to move on, okay? All right, let me move on. Now, let's take a look back in the Gemara. All right, now, the Gemara says, on the last medium wide line, I'm Reish Lakish, my dichtiv. Now, Reish Lakish is referring to a pasuk in Kohelet, and it's talking about getting Yirat Hashem. So, I'm Reish Lakish, my dichtiv, vaya emurani techa chosin shuat chochma v'dad, and says, Yirat Hashem yotzaro. That, now this pasuk was said by Yeshaya was speaking at the time when Sancheriv, in other words, Sancheriv was coming and attacking Yehuda, and Sancheriv put a matzor, a siege around Yerushalayim. Actually, it relates to Pesach, like because on later this week, on Wednesday night, is the first Seder. It's at the Seder, one of the pismonim that we see at the end, I think is it by Hiba Chatzi Alayla. It says how Sancheriv had a matzor around Yerushalayim, and it was broken. I think on Pesach it broke. So he says, So the Navi Yeshaya says the Pshuto Shemekra. There's always like the plain meaning of the pasuk, and then the drasha. So the plain meaning of the pasuk is that he's saying, if you want tranquility, you want things to be good, so engage in Chachma Badad. But yeah, emunati techa. So it says like the stability of your time, will be chosen yeshuot, and it says the strength of your salvation is chachma medad, wisdom and understanding, and then yirat Hashem yotzero, yirat Hashem. So engage in those things, and life will be good for you. So, but here the Gemara darshens it out. There's six terms in the pasuk, and the Gemara relates to the six terms to the six starim. There are six sections of Mishnayot and Talmud. So he says, Emunat is a Seder Zeroyim. Emunat, like belief, refers to Seder Zeroyim. So I thought the simple shot is like the way Tosfos says. Tosfos says like a farmer, you know, he plants the seeds, he needs Emunah, there's going to be rain, everything will work out. But Rashi says, Rashi says, Emunati Techa, that, I'm sorry, he says, let me get it, where's Emunati Techa? Shamunat Adam Someich La Frishman Sekarui, that like we have to rely on the person's honesty that he's going to separate out the ties. So anyway, so Emunah refers to Seder Zeroyim. Seder Zeroyim is, you know, like with seeds, and I mean, in Seder Zeroyim there are Mesechtot, you know, that refer to planting, but anyway, so that's that. He says, Itecha is a Seder Moed. Itecha, your times, that refers to Seder Moed, the second section of Shas. Chosen is a Seder Nashim. Chosen is like related to the word Yichus. In other words, that refers to Seder Nashim, like, you know, Kiddushin, Gittin, so forth, Yivamot. He says, Yeshuot is a Seder Nezikin. Yeshuot is Seder Nezikin because by studying Seder Nezikin, so it'll save you from like monetary liability. I'll know what my liabilities are. I'll watch out for it. Chachmat is a Seder Kachim. Wisdom is Seder Kachim. Kachim talks about the base of Mikdash. But Da'at is a Seder Taharot. That refers to Seder Taharot. So he says, Vafilu hachi yirat Hashem yotzaro. But notwithstanding all the learning, it says Yirat Hashem Yotzaro, the most important thing is to have Yirat Hashem Shemayim. So it means there's learning and Yirat Hashem. It's like Chachma and Sidkus. So as great as the learning is, but the key, the cornerstone, has to be Yirat Hashem. If the person doesn't have Yirat Hashem, his learning is going to be messed up, but his learning will be all far crumped. It'll be all twisted and crooked. So he says, Amarava B'sha'asha Machnis Nadam Ladin. So Rava says, based on the same Pasuk, when a person is brought, is nach 100 svansig yor, to the final din in Shemayim, omrim lo nasata v'natata b'muna. We'll discuss each one. This is a simple pshat. Did you deal honestly in your business dealings? That's question one. Now that's based on emunat. In other words, this is emunat itecha. So emuna, did you deal honestly in business? He says, and then the next is itecha, kavata itim l'Torah, where you kovea times for Torah. Kovea itim l'Torah doesn't mean you studied Torah, even if you studied every day. Kavata itim l'Torah means you have a set time when you learn every day. In other words, like we have a Seder for Daf Yomi, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. So that's Kavata Itim L'Torah. But if I study an hour a day, so I'm studying, but I'm not Koveya Itim L'Torah. I say, grab an hour here, grab an hour there. That's always nice, but I should have a set time that I learn. Then he says, the third is, then Chosen, which we said was like Yichus, Asakta Bepiri Verivya, where you Osek in procreation. And then, Sipita Lishua, did you look eagerly await the Mashiach? You know, the Chafetz Chaim wrote one of his little pamphlets, and it's called Sipita Lishua, you know, and it's on the coming of the Mashiach. And the Chafetz Chaim, he would ask people, like, who would come to him, they speak about, in your town, they speak about the Mashiach. I think it's missing a lot in our lives. The Chafetz Chaim himself had a special kapata he bought, so that when the Melech HaMashiach would show up, he'd wear it. And I think he had a piece of luggage prepared, so that what would happen, you know, so that he'd be ready to greet the Melech HaMashiach. And then he says, okay, just one minute, okay, I'm going to, then Pilpalta B'Chachma, did you delve into Chachma, and he vant the bar, we took the bar, and then did you understand one thing from another thing? V'afilu hachi, notwithstanding all of those elements, he says, Yira Hashem Hiyotzaro in Ilolo. In other words, if, again, it comes down, in other words, if you have Yira Hashem, you'll have, and you have wonderful answers to those questions, so then you'll have favorable judgment. But if you don't have Yira Hashem, in other words, you weren't a Yira Hashem, but you study Torah every day, that doesn't do it. In other words, you have to have the Yira Hashem. He says, Mashal Yadam, Shamar L'Shlucho, it's like a person says, I want you to like get a kur chitim, a large measure of wheat, and bring it upstairs in to the attic. Halach v'helalo, he brings it up. Amarlo, he rav to libahen kav chumtin. Chumton. Did you put a chumton in? Rashi says it's like earth, it's got salt, it's a preservative. He says, Amarlo lav. He says, no. He says, Amarlo mutav im lo helaita. It would be better if you didn't bring it up. In other words, it's all valueless if you don't have Yirat Hashem. Like, you know, one of my Rebbeim, Rebbe Bronchfield, would talk, he would say, like today these type of people aren't around, but they had people who had studied Torah in Europe, and then they just enjoyed, like, the intellectual stimulation. And so, like, on a Shabbos, he said, like, they'd be smoking a cigar and studying Gemara. You know, today you don't have any, there's no tipos like that today. There's no people like that. But, like, there's an idea, like, the person, there are people who do study so-called the Talmud, and do expound it, but they're not Yirei Hashem, and they don't have a Mesorah from Rebbeim properly. So if you don't have the proper Mesorah from Rebbeim, you don't have Yirei Hashem, the whole Torah is far-crumped. And they got, unfortunately, a lot of this in our society, with people, you know, pronouncing this, that, the other, but it's not, they don't have the Mesorahs, they don't have the chain of tradition. Okay, who's got, you wanted to say something, Aaron Moshe? We couldn't hear you before. You want to try again? What do you want to say? Aaron Moshe?
No, before, could you hear me now?
Slightly better. Try again. Go and speak.
I was talking about Gilgalim. So essentially, we're all Gilgalim, according to the Zohar. Because most people need a ticket in a certain thing. Need a ticket in this, need a ticket in that.
Right.
If you need a ticket, Mr. Tzipkin is a Gilgal. You have to come back as a Gilgal.
Right.
That the Gemara, I was talking about the Gemara that where the boy went up and did keep it up Ayin and Shluch HaKan.
Right,
together.
Right.
And he fell and got killed.
Right.
The famous Gemara. It says he went up to the Gemara of Shekula Ayin. He went to the place where he lived forever. What does that mean, he went to the place? Anybody that dies goes to the place to live forever. Shach is like this. He went to this place and they didn't have to come back. More people have to come back. Yosef Cairo in the 1500s, he didn't have to come back. He went up to Mokum Shkul Oyev, he stayed in Jemaya.
Right.
The same thing with that's the shot with the boy who went up.
All right. You know, they say that, like, if a person, like, he feels like a certain atiyah to a certain mitzvah, that's the siman, that's the mitzvah that he needs to be metakein, and that's why he's here now. Okay, now, let me just read this word. You know, I thought this Gemara was going to go 1, 2, 3, and I see it's taking, like, much longer. All right, now, let me just do a little piece here. Now, in our Gemara, we said there are 6 questions. The first question is, Nasata Benantata Bemuna. Did you deal honestly with business? So this is from the El Adaf. So Tosfos in Kiddushin Daf Mem notes a contradiction. Here, the Gemara says, Tchilat Dino Shalatam al Dibrei Torah. The Gemara in Kiddushin says the first din, the first issue that they take up, is where you kovei itim the Torah. Our Gemara says that's question number two. So Tosfos answers that the Gemara in Kiddushin is not referring to the order of questioning, but rather the first punishment that's meted out. So Tosfos' answer is, this is the order of the questioning. When it comes to dealing with you, so the first thing we're going to deal with and mete out judgment is for, you know, if you were lax in the studying Torah. Although the heavenly court first interrogates a person regarding his honesty in business, the first punishment that they mete out is for one's deficiency in Torah study. The Maharit explains that this is so because one's lack of integrity in his business dealings is attributed to his lack of knowledge of the Torah's laws. If one would study properly and know all the monetary laws of the Torah, he would conduct his business honestly. Now, the B'nai Yisaskar defines the question in the Sata B'nai Torah of Amuna, meaning, did you conduct your business in the proper moon of faith in Hashem? He explains that this question is asked concurrently with the next question, Kavati Yitim Torah. One who is sufficient bitako and an moon of Hashem realizes that his income is predestined from Hashem. Means that if he realizes that it's already nigzar on Rosh Hashanah how much money I'm going to make this year, so a lot of people, they cut back on their study of Torah because they say, I got to make more money. And if you would really, like, Nasata B'natata Mamuna means, if he would really have faith that everything was nigzar from Hashem, then he wouldn't, like, kill himself so much with making the money. He says he's conscious of the fact that overexerting himself in his business and diminishing his time for Torah study does not serve to increase his preordained earnings. Thus, a person is asked whether he had sufficient emunah when conducting his business, thus making it possible to designate sufficient time for Torah study. Often the problem of not being able to find time to study Torah is a result of deficiency in emunah. Accordingly, the contradiction pointed out by Tosfos in Kiddushin is resolved. Our Gemara does not pose a contradiction in the Gemara in Kiddushin, which says, Tchilat Dinam Shalom al Dibrei Torah, since the first question is of a person, Satav no Tumun is related to Torah. So in other words, the way that the B'nai Yisaskar wants to say, and the first two questions are really one. In other words, Nasata B'natata B'muna, did you have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was goes there, how much money you would make this year? And as a result of that, if you did, then you would be Kovei Itim LaTorah. It's like they both go hand in glove. Alternatively, the Radvaz, cited by the Ma'arit, defines Nasata B'natata B'muna as referring to one's dealing in Dibrei Torah, not as business. Nasata B'natata B'muna doesn't mean business dealing. It means, did you, with the Torah, in other words, it's sort of in a way like the B'nai Yisaskar that it goes together. In other words, was the Torah done in a faithful way? Meaning, the heavenly court interrogates one whether his motives when studying and teaching Torah are pure, i.e., for the sake of discovering the correct pshat and the meaning of Torah. Did you study Torah, you were interested in the correct pshat, or you had another agenda? If one indulges in mental acrobatics and pilpul merely for the sake of impressing his students or peers, he will have to eventually answer the heavenly court for not utilizing his mental prowess faithfully in attempting to discover the true meaning of Hashem's Torah. So we have a couple of different pshatim on it. So it's, remember we had Tosfos' answer is that in Achinami, Nasata B'Natarun is the first question, but in terms of punishment, it's for Divrei Torah. Then we have the B'nai Yisaskar, that they both go together, that you have faith in Hashem, that he had, was gozer, how much income you would have this year, and as a result of that, where you kovei itim la Torah, but Nasata, in other words, when your business, you had a moon with that, or Nasata B'Natarun, that means when your Torah, was that for altruistic reasons, like sometimes, like the Gemara learns, if a person learns just because he wants to, like, you know, lekanter lekapeach, I want to torment somebody. I'm learning just to torment somebody with the Torah learning. Like, there's the rabbi in the shul, and I want to like prove that he doesn't know anything, chas v'shalom. So I'm learning so I can, you know, catch him up on something. So that's not a good way to learn Torah. In other words, the satam patatam emuna. Okay, let's go further in the Gemara. Let's keep it moving. All right, now we're on the bottom line on lamed aleph lamed aleph. I'm a rabbi bar Rav Huna. Kuldam Shesh Bo Torah, the Ainbo turn page, top line, Yirat Shemayim, Domal Gizbar, Shemasru Lo Maftachot Pinio, Maftachot Chitzanot Lo Masru Lo. So he says, if he has Torah learning, but he has no Yirat Shemayim, he's like a treasurer, they give him Maftachot Pinio, he's got the keys, let's say, to the inner room, the inner vault, he says, Maftachot Chitzanot Lo Masru Lo. In other words, he's got the key to the vault, he doesn't have the key to the front door. So, in other words, so the vault, he's got all the Torah. But he doesn't have the Yirat Shemayim. He says, Behei Ayil, how is he going to get in to get the money? Because he doesn't have Yirat Shemayim. He says, Machriz Rabbianai. Rabbianai, like, was Machriz. Chaval al delaytle darta, v'tar le darta avid. Woe to the person who doesn't have, like, he's in the courtyard, I mean, it's like a home, but he makes a nice gate for it. So each of these pshatim is a little bit different, right? One is the reverse of the other. It was the first one is saying that the Yirat Shemayim is the gate to the front door, and then Torah is like the inner locks. So he's got the inner keys, he doesn't have the outer keys. The second one's saying that woe to the person who makes like a nice gate, but he doesn't have the gate to the house. So there's a piece of Torah that Rav Simon has in his sefer. Let me get the sefer out. One minute. Where did I put it? Oh, here. Okay. Anyway, so he quotes from Rav Yoel Teitelbaum, who's the Satmar Rebbe. Let me get it.
Satmar Rebbe.
Yeah, the Satmar Rav. One second. Yeah. So he points out the contradiction between the two of them. So the way he takes it is like this. He's saying, like, to get the first mashal is saying to get the emes of Torah you need siyata d'shmaya. And it's not like other chachmas. In other words, other chachmas in the world, if you'd spend time, you'd delve in it, so you get the answers. The secrets are opened up to you. But when it comes to Lima Torah, it's not that way. If a person studies Torah, he doesn't have Yirat Shemayim, he never sees the MS, and he doesn't see the Arabis of Torah. In other words, so Yiras Hashem is a sign of Kwanan to study. So that's the first mashal. The Gizbar, he's got the inner keys, he doesn't have the outer key. It means, like, he's not even toe-face anything. In other words, he's got nothing. In other words, if I'm out on the street, so I really have nothing. So that's what you have. That's what your Torah is. You don't have Yirat Shemayim. And the second mashal is saying something different, he says. It's saying that sometimes you have people, he says, like they're in shul, they have the talis over their head, they look like they're, you know, some tzaddik, they're davening, but then they come home and they're like an animal. You know, they're into gashmius, and they, you know, they don't behave the right way. So he says that's the second... Wait one minute. Okay, so he's saying... So he's saying... That like the woe to the people who make this nice gate. In other words, in the outside he's from, but inside he's not from because he doesn't have Yirat Shemayim. Okay, what do you want to say, Aaron Moshe? Let's hear you, Aaron Moshe.
The punishment should be combined.
What?
The punishment should be combined.
Wait. Did you hear him? I couldn't make you out. Repeat again.
The punishment should be combined.
Toko Kabaro. Okay, fine. Toko Kabaro sounds good. Okay, let's move on in the Gemara. Now, all right, let's take a look. Okay, now we're on line four. Looks like we're going to go in overtime tonight. I hope it's okay with everybody. Okay. Amar Rav Yehuda, lo barak kodesh baruch hu lamo, el kadesh shirumi lefanav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world so people will have Yirat Shemayim. Shemar v'lokim asa shirumi lefanav. You know, there's a piece, like, there's a whole question, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world? You know, there was Hashem is like the Ein Sof, and he has everything. So why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need to even create the world? So, well, the one derech is the way Rav Lerner says that, Hashem's midah is tov. So derech tov lahativ. In other words, that, like, the derech of a person who's filled with chesed is, I want to do chesed to some entity. So there's nobody to do chesed to, so I can't fulfill my midah who I am. But another answer I've heard is that, like, the world was lacking Yirat Shemayim. In other words, he's creating the world so somebody will have Yirat Hashem. But that's the way it sounds like here. I think Rav Karlap said that once. So the Gemara says, Rav Simon Rav Lazar hab Yafei. Rav Simon Rav Lazar was sitting. Chalifa Azar Rav Yaakov Bar Acha. So Rav Yaakov Bar Acha passes by. Amalei Chad L'Chavrei. So one of the Chachamim said to the other one, Neku Mikame Degavar Dachil Chatainu. Let's stand up for him because he's a Yirei Chet. He's Yirei Hashem. We should stand up for him. Amalei Yidach Neku Mikame Degavar Bar Uryanu. We should stand up for him because he's Taman Chacha. So one says they both agree they should stand up. One says we should stand up because he's Yirei Hashem. The other says we should stand up because he's a Taman Chacham. A Bar Uryan means a Taman Chacham. Uryan means like a light, you know, Bar Uryan. So like Oraita. So Amalei, Aminalach Ana Digvar Dachil Chatainhu. I say he's Yirei Hashem. La Amrit Liad Bar Uryanhu. And you say he's a Taman Chacham. I mean the key is Yirei Hashem. So the Gemara says, Tistayim Dereb Lazar Hu Da'amar Digvar Dachil Chatainhu. So the Gemara says we should be able to conclude that we said that we had there were two Chachamim, Reb Simon and Reb Lazar, they're the people who were sitting down. So Mestama Reb Lazar is the one who said that he's a Yirei Hashem. I mean, Dachil Tachatai means he's Yirei Chait. He says, the Amar Reb Yochanan Mishur Reb Lazar, because Reb Yochanan said in the name of Reb Lazar, Ein lo kachbarchu lemol yirat shemayim babad. The kachbarchu only has in this world yirat shemayim. Shenemar v'yata Yisrael ma'ashem l'kech ha'shvol nimach kiim li rabba gomer. What is Hashem asking of you just to have yirat Hashem? Uchtiv, in other words, v'yomer l'adam hein yirat Hashem hi chachma v'gomer. He says, like it's in Eov, he says, v'yomer l'adam hein yirat Hashem hi chachma shkim l'shon yivani korin la'achat hein. And there was an yivani in Greek, I don't know the Greek word for one, but in Latin or French, it's un, you know, like, or, you know, like, or uno, you know, like in the Romance languages. So the same thing in Greek, hein. So he's saying hein, it means like not just one, but it's like singular, unique. In other words, the most important thing is Yirat Hashem. So tis time. The Gemara concludes that way. So that's the piece of all that. And I'll say this briefly. There's like over here, it says, Ma Hashem Alkecha Shuel Meimachim Yirat Hashem Alkecha. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, what is Hashem asking of you? So the Gemara elsewhere says, in Bracha, we had this already. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Atu Yirat Hashem Milta Zutar Tehi? Is Yirat Hashem a small thing? That's the whole enchilada. You have Yirat Hashem. So what is Moshe Rabbeinu saying to Klal Yisrael? Well, you know, Ma Hashem, what is God asking me just to be Yirat Hashem? That's a big thing to be Yirat Hashem. So the Gemara says, In Lagabi Moshe Milta Zutarti. So the Gemara says, for Moshe Rabbeinu, it was a Milta Zutarti. So what the questions they asked, yeah, but every rabbi has to know who he's talking to. So for Moshe Rabbeinu, it was a small thing. So one answer is brought down by the Gra and the Baal Shem Tov, In Lagabi Moshe, for the people who were near Moshe Rabbeinu, people in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu, Yirat Hashem was a milta zutarti. It was not a big thing. In other words, if you're in the presence of, you know, tremendous tzaddikim, so to be Yirat Hashem isn't so hard anymore. You're influenced by those people. All right, so let's go further in the Gemara. Now, our four lines above where it gets wide. Darash Rav Ula, my detiv al tirsho harbe begomer. What does the pasuk mean in Kohelet? Don't be excessively wicked. Don't be. So he says, Harbe hud lo tirsha ma'at lirsha, and always like, you could be a little bit rasha, but just a lot rasha, and it was like one or two aveirot a day I could do, but not just 20. And it was like, what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Ela misha chal shum reichon odetech, sorbi ochal shum acher. It means, let's say a person, he ate garlic. Garlic was like the stinky, you know, for the red breath. So if I ate some garlic and my breath stinks, so should I have more garlic and it'll stink even more and last longer and the breath will be even worse? So it's trying to say, you know, behavreich no dave. So it means that, like, sometimes people feel, you know, like I did one or two aveirot, like it's all like lost. So I'm you know, treating everything like hefker. But the answer is, like, you know, the emes is, unfortunately, everybody does aveirot. But, see, you didn't aveirot, but you got to get back online. In other words, so if you didn't aveirot, you know, sometimes, like people think, well, it was a fast day. I didn't realize it was a fast day, I ate something. All right, but now you realize it's a fast day. It doesn't mean you get, to, like, a free check now to eat. In other words, like you forgot today was Asara B'Tevet. You had something in the morning. But now you realize it's Asara B'Tevet, so stop eating. You know what I mean? Like you gotta keep going as best you can. All right, now the first wide line. Darash Rava Baravula, Maidativ, Kien Chartzubot Lamotam. Okay. Kien Chartzubot, I'm fine. I've got the phone here. All right, excuse me for 1 second. Bronstein? Yeah. Actually, I'm in the middle of Daf Yomi, but believe it or not, I'll call you back in 15 minutes, okay? Thank you so much. Bye-bye. All right. So he says, let me sit back again. He says, I'm sorry, yeah. Ki ein chartzubot lamotam ubari ulam. So the pasuk says, one second. Yeah, we got this pasuk. Yeah. So he says, there are no ties that bind them upon their death, and the strength is robust. In other words, this is from the Sefer Tehillim. Means, like, David HaMelech is speaking about the Rishayim. Like, the Rishayim, they live, like, nice lives, everything's great, and they're not worried about death, and that's the way it goes. He goes to a time of a re... Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo dayan Rishayim she'inan charedim v'atzeivim. So, chartzubot, he's taken as a contraction of charedim v'atzeivim. Not enough for the Rishayim that they're not charedim, they're not fear of Hashem, and they're not atzeiv miyom amita, they're not worried about the day of death. Ela, shlibam bari lahem Ke'ulam. He says that the hearts are, he says, robust as the portals of an expansive hall. In other words, like, they're really, they don't process where everything is headed. Behind the Amarabba, my detiv said there come kesalamo. He says that this is their way, like through foolishness. Yodim Rishayim Shadarkam Lamita. And as the Rishayim realize that they're going to die, he says v'yesh lahem chelav al kislam. But they've got like fat on their kidneys. The chelav represents gashmius, and the ksal in the kidneys represent reasoning, and they're like blinded by the gashmius of this world. He says, Shema Tomar Shechahi, maybe say that they don't realize they forgot about death. He says, Tamaloma Bachraimafim Yirtsu Sela. Like, they realize there's death, but they're sort of like blinded by everything. All right, now, on line 5. Now, Kechasaner, we're back to the Mishnah that we did on, what day is today? Today's Monday, right? So on Sunday, I did Shabbos' Daf. So on Daf Lamed, Amud Beis. So we mentioned the Machloket in the Mishnah. It was Chavtet, rather, Amud Beis, right? So, yeah, so the Mishnah said, let me get to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, let's say a person puts out a candle on Shabbos, he says, so according to Tanakhama, the ner means the receptacle. The candles are burning on Shabbos. So he decides he's going to blow out the candle because he wants to save the oil. Or he wants to save the receptacle. He doesn't want it to crack or whatever. Or he wants to save the wick. So the Tanakhama says, then he's chayiv. He did a malach on Shabbos. And then Rabbi Yossi poter b'chulan. The Tana Rabbi Yossi exempts liability in all the cases, meaning by shemen and by ner, chusman ha-petilam neshoseth pecham, except for the case of the petila, the wick. All right, well, the Gemara will explain the machlokin. We'll try to get into it now. So Rabbi Yossi commands severely. Now, let me say this outside a little bit inside. So there's a machlok between the Tana Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon about malacha shein etzricha legufa. We've had this before. We'll have it again, and you keep getting it repeated. So now there's two ways to understand malacha shein etzricha legufa. The simple way is, I think, the way Tosfos does it. The main sugis comes up later in our in Shabbos, I think on Sadi Bav. Anyway, so malacha shein etzricha legufa, the way Tosfos understands it, is if I'm doing a malacha for a purpose other than that which was in the Beis HaMikdash. So the prototypical example is if chofer v'enot tzricha la'afara. If I dig a hole, I don't want the hole, I want the dirt. So if I don't want the hole, I want the dirt, that's doing the malacha for a different purpose. In other words, the hole could be malacha bona, it could be building, or it could be choresh. But if I'm digging for the dirt, so let's say in the Beis HaMikdash they dug a hole, they kept things in the hole, but I'm digging the hole, I need the dirt, so I'm not doing it for the purpose that was in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's a machloket between the Tana Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, whether I'm chayiv or patur for it. So the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says I'm chayiv from lacha shein etzricha legufa, and the Tana Rabbi Shimon says I'm patur from it. Now the Rambam paskins like Aaron Gershon, you need to silence yourself, Aaron Gershon, please mute yourself. Aaron Gershon, please mute yourself. So the Gemara takes it. The Rambam takes it that we pass on like Rabbi Yehuda, but most poskim say we pass on like the Tana Rabbi Shimon. But but even Rabbi Shimon holds it's patur v'alaser. Okay. So but it comes out that even though it would be like a Rabbanon the way we're paskining, but it's a very very stringent Rabbanon. All right, let's take back on the Gemara now. So the Gemara says klasen rukuli. So this case is also lechora malacha shein etzricha legufa. If he's blowing out the candle because he wants to save the receptacle, he wants to save the oil, that's malacha shein etzricha legufa, because in the Beis HaMikdash, they blew things out, they wanted to make coals, they didn't want to save something else. Okay, so now, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, come on, Sfirle. Who does like the Tana Rabbi Yossi hold? So Rabbi Yossi holds, for the receptacle and for the oil, I'm patur. For the wick, I'm chayev. If he holds like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, he should be chayiv in all three of them. He says, and if he holds like Rabbi Shimon, the malacha shein etzricha legufa, he's off, petila nami liftor. So this the Gemara thinks that he should be off the hook for the petila as well. He assumes that the petila is a malacha shein etzricha legufa. All right, now, Abraham Ula, the olam k'Rabbi Yehuda sfirlai. So Ula says that Rabbi Yossi holds like the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, means that I should be chayev in all of them, because malacha shein etzricha legufa is chayev. He says, v'kesav Rabbi Yossi, soter amanat levno b'mkomo lo avi soter, amanat levno shlo b'mkomo lo avi soter. So the Tana Rabbi Yossi holds, now, all the malachot of Shabbos, these are fundamentals, but you're picking them up, like, along the way. They're not, like, you know, the main sugya when we get to all the malachot is in Klal Gadol, but then everything comes a little bit dribs and drabs. All the malachot have to be for tikkun, not for kilkul. In other words, they have to be for constructive purposes, not for destructive purposes. So most of the malachot seem clearly that there are constructive purposes. Some of the malachot seem like they're for destructive purposes. So one of the malachot is like soter, I'm demolishing, I'm destroying a building. So, but it's only soter almanat livnot. In other words, to do the malachot deraisa, I'm destroying, let's say, I'm destroying the building, I'm destroying the structure, so, but I'm going to build a nice structure in the area. So it is positive. In other words, sometimes destruction is like something positive. I'm destroying so I can build. Or korea, I'm ripping. So korea is a destructive act. But if it's korea I'm not lit for, I'm ripping so that I could sew it. I want to sew it in a certain way. So then that's a constructive action. So in the same way, mechabe, I'm not lahavir. If I'm mechabe because I want to cause the light to go back on, then that's in a constructive fashion. So he holds soter, I'm not living kumalavi soter, I'm not living no shalom kumalavi soter. He holds in order to be constructive, it has to be in the same location. So with the candle, if it's the wick I intend to relight, that's a destructive action by putting it out. But if it's soter, I'm not lahavir, is what he's saying. In other words, not soter. In other words, mechaba, I'm not lahavir. I'm mechaba, I'm putting it out, I'm not lahavir, because I want to relight it. So then that's the constructive action that I'd be chayav for. But if I'm mechabe because I want to save the oil, mechabe because I want to save the receptacle, that's not bimkomo, because the wick is the thing that's lit. So he says, Amalei Rabba Michti, Kum Malachot Yalfin Lehumi Mishkan. He says, look, what he's saying. All Malachot we learn from the Mishkan. Hakam Soter, Amanat Lenot Shalom Komohu. Over there, they would be Soter, they would take apart the Mishkan. That's where we learn all the Malachot from. And then they would reassemble it, you know, maybe 20 miles away, whatever they were doing. So Amalei Shani Hatam, means, for most people, if it's unrelated. In other words, if I destroy in location A and then I build in location B, so the building in location B has got nothing to do with the destruction in location A. But with a Kaddish Baruch Hu, everything is like with his understanding of the world. In other words, he's running the whole world. So then the destruction is for the building, and then it's part of his cycle. Okay, so that's the first pshat which the Gemara has in the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to reject it, so let's focus on this pshat. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lilum Krib Shimon Srila. Rabbi Yochanan says that the Tana Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Shimon. Malachashin is Rikhil Gufa is Patur. I'm off the hook. He says, Humayishna Patila, so why am I chayav for lighting the Patila? So I understand. When I blow it out and I'm saving the Shem, and it's not for the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. I blow it out, I want to save the receptacle, it's not for the purpose of the Beis HaMikdash. So I blow it out, and I want to save the Petila, what's that about? We're talking about a Petila that I want it to become like singed, charred. He says, Divahi, Afilu Rav Shimon Modi to come and talk in mana. Then there, the Tana Rav Shimon says that's a Tikkun mana, it's a Malachash Shrik L'Gufa. So Amarava, Dekanami Dikatani Shu Osepecham, he says that pshat makes more sense than the first pshat, because the Tana of the Mishnah says that he shook, in other words, Chutzmin Aptila Mneshu Osepecham, because with the Ptila, he's making it like charcoal, singed. So in other words, by blowing it out, he's making it singed, which is what he wants to do. He says, it doesn't say like it just like became charcoal, that's the way it went. That would be like the first way. He says, Shmomina. So the Gemara takes the Shmomina. Alright, any questions on what we did so far? Alright, let me wrap up the daf, then I'll do... Okay, now, by the way, tomorrow I'm going to see you at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock daf tomorrow, okay? Now, Manitin, Ashloshav wrote Nashim Meitob B'Shat Leidatan. There are three of the women die in childbirth. Ashenan Zero Benida. They're not careful in the dinim of Nida. He says, Bechala, they're not careful in Hafrashat Chala, Uvadlachananir, they're not careful in lighting Shabbos candles. So the Gemara says, Nida and Ma'itaima, what's the reason that they would die for Nida in childbirth? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, he kilkala b'chadri vitna, she like corrupted with chadri vitna, in other words, like her innermost chambers, like with the dinim of Nida, l'fichach tilakeh b'chadri vitna. In other words, she wasn't careful with her menstrual cycle and all those dinim. So the makkah, in other words, like where the avera is, that's where the punishment comes. So she wasn't observing the dinim of nida, so now she's going to get it, you know, where that takes place. So the Gemara says, Tenach Nida, Chala Hadlaka Neir, Michael Maymar. Okay, Nida got covered. What about Chala and Hadlaka Neir? How does that all right? Why does she die in childbirth for those? So the Gemara says, Kididara Shahu Galila, Ale de Rav Chista. Like a certain Galilean, he darshaned in front of Rav Chista. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Revi Adam Natati Bachem, I gave you Revi Adam. Means Revi Adam is like the amount of, minimum amount of blood to sustain life. He says, Al Iski Dam Hizhartid Bachem, I admonished you concerning the Dinam of Dam. It means with Nida. Then on the top line on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, Reishit Karati Achem, I called you Reishit, I called you like the first, like Klal Yisrael is called Reishit Tevuato, his first crop. Al Iske Reishit Hizhartid Achem, I admonished you with Reishit, and was Chala is called Reishit Arisotechem, the first of your dough. He says, Neshama Shinatati Bachem Kruyaner, your Neshama is called a candle. He says, Al Iske Ner Hizhartid Achem, I admonished you concerning lighting the candle. You don't light candles in the Rabbanan, but the Gemara here says that, I assume he means, like, since Hashem tells you to observe the Dinim de Rabbanan, Otam Mutav. So if you fulfill these mitzvahs, so fine, everything will go well. Vimlav, Reinu Notel Nishmachem. So otherwise, I'm going to take away your lives. Okay, the Gemara continues on with this a little bit, but I'm going to call it a day here. And there's a story also, but I think I'm going to call it a day with the story also. You're definitely in overtime. Anyway, so any questions? Anything we did so far? It was wonderful seeing everybody here tonight.
Today's daf is for Ilui Neshama of
Miro Bat Yitzchak. Absolutely, Ilui Neshama Miro Bat Yitzchak.